in Pauline theology with the threefold division of mankind according to their knowledge of divine things in the context of that portion in 1 Corinthians 2 and 3. We dealt with the psychikos man, or soulish man, natural man, the unsaved person, with no ability whatsoever to know divine truth. We've seen this. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they're foolishness unto him. Not a matter of whether he wants to or not, it's a matter of impossibility. I turn me to the portion in 1 Corinthians, and beginning at verse 1 of chapter 2, and you'll see the Parkinson's man, or the born-again believer, but still walking after the flesh, and a baby. 31. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. That will be our third one we'll be considering. The pneumatikos man. But as unto carnal, psychikos, even as unto babes. Here's the Holy Spirit explains what psychikos is, as he does in verse 3. But as unto babes in Christ, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, or solid food is the Greek. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet psychikos, carnal. Whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal? There's another definition the Holy Spirit gives of psychikos. And walk as men. Natural man, the unsaved person. And then he goes on to show this division among them. One says, I'm of Apollos, another of Cephas, another of Paul, and so on. We shall see these characteristics of the psychikos, or carnal Christian. Now, these last two are the most important to us since we are saved individuals. It concerns us. We are not any longer psychikos, soulish. We are either carnal or spiritual. We shall see how important this is as we go along, because Paul distinctly says, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Romans 8. And yet every born-again believer that it hasn't gone on to be filled with the Spirit of God is still psychikos. He's still carnal. He's still fleshy. The Greek word psychikos means a fleshy, carnal Christian. A born-again believer. But still walking after the first life. In the context of 1 Corinthians 3:13, it must be a Christian. Since he calls him a babe in Christ. Now, a babe in Christ is not a sinner. It's not an unconverted person. It has to be a saved individual. We had a little holiness preacher one time in a church I was pastoring. And the church called him to do the evangelistic work. And he stood up there and said, there's no such thing as a carnal Christian. He said, it's a conviction in terms. I wanted so badly to get up and read this text, because it's just absolutely contrary to what he said. But I know why he said it, because he was a Pilgrim Holiness preacher, and it was a Pilgrim Holiness church I was pastoring for a year. We've mentioned it several times. They wanted to come into the alliance, and I went there to be the first pastor, and it didn't work. Paul uses the word 10 times. And only Peter used it, but he uses it as an adjective twice, and we should come across that. Thayer, in his excellent lexicon, defines it having the nature of the flesh under the control of the original appetite. But born again believer now, we shall see. Governed by mere human nature, wholly given over to the flesh, rooted in the flesh. We shall see Paul uses it, walking in the flesh. Romans 8. Walking after the flesh, or as the flesh walks. Now, as we said, it is the Pauline word. He's the only one who defines it. Peter uses it of fleshly lusts and fleshly wisdom, sarcotone, an adjective, but he doesn't use the noun. Paul used another word, thoughts, from which the word sarcotos comes. Thoughts, the flesh. 64 times he used this word thoughts. Notice how he used it. The old man, the old nature, fleshly mind, walking after the flesh, minding the flesh, making provision or allowances for the flesh to fulfill its lusts, warring after the flesh, glorying in the flesh, filthiness of the flesh, showing to the flesh, satisfying the flesh, work to the flesh, and almost 60 more of them. We looked up every time that the Paul used flesh as such, you get a good idea of what the flesh is. He only uses the word sarx in one place of the literal meat. Well, two places of literal meat. So that's what it means, meat. Meat. Like eating meat offered to idols. There it's literal meat, bought in the shambles, as he says, or the butcher shop. But almost every other time, except in one other place, he uses this word sarx for the old man, the old nature. We receive by natural generation. And a believer can walk after that. But it won't please God. But Paul says they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now then, get it well, sarx or flesh is all that we are by nature. Our whole psychological makeup from Adam. We shall prove this in our next subject when we take the two natures in the believer. God intended that the sarx, the old man, should be under the dominion and control and complete regulation of the new pneuma created by the Holy Ghost in our pneuma, or spirit. When man fell, the life and light of God went out of his spirit, and he became a soulish creature living after the soul. Now, when a person is born of the Spirit of God, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, or pneuma, it becomes a new center into the believer, indwelt by the Spirit of God, and God intends that that should fill our whole being and control our whole being so that we can walk in the Spirit to not fulfill the lust of the flesh as a believer. Romans 8. In fact, Romans 7 and Romans 8 is a very good exposition of this subject, and we'll take it when we come to the two natures in the believer. An exposition of it, a little short exposition. In regeneration, as we said, the Holy Spirit breathes a brand new pneuma, or spirit, in our spirits. Again, Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Hence, we shall see that a believer is indwelt by two natures. One born of God, the other born of human nature. Most saints, like the Corinthians, are yet carnal. Sarkitas. Ruled by the flesh. We shall see almost all spiritual things are interpreted soulishly, not spiritually, by the average Christian. They're not filled with the Spirit of God. They're not wholly sanctified. They haven't perfected holiness in the fear of God. All these texts we shall be considering. And let me warn you again, you can't please God and dwell in the flesh. War in the flesh. Now note, in Sarkikos are those Christians born again of the Spirit of God, who have received the new life of God. They have partaken of the divine nature, but they're still living and warring after the old nature. They are the Sarkikoi, fleshy ones, carnal, like the Corinthians. And remember, Paul preached for 3 years at Corinth. He already preached 2 years when he wrote this letter back. Are ye not yet carnal? I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto babes. Can't bear it. And they walk as men. In other words, they walk just as if they weren't saved. And most Christians today do this. Their whole life is not dominated by the new nature controlled by the Spirit of God and filled by the Spirit of God. Now, this is an unsanctified, unspirit-filled believer. That's the Sarkikos Christian. Salvation to them is a sideline, a hobby. You know what a hobby is? It's something that you use your odd money and your odd time for entertainment purposes. It's not your business. It's not your life work. Well, should Christianity be a hobby? A sideline? Or should it be your everything? I mean, your every affair of your life. Now look at the characteristics of the Sarkikoi, or fleshy, or carnal Christian. Now always keep in mind they're saved. There's doubt about that at all when you read 1 Corinthians. Now in generalities, before we enter your notes, notice they're a baby instead of an adult. They've never grown up into Christ. They're soulish instead of spiritual. They're self instead of Christ. They're weak instead of strong. Notice the first one here. No spiritual appetite. Now remember, this is the primary one that Paul is emphasizing in this text. He's been talking, remember, about the hidden wisdom of God, which none of the princes of this world knew, which God ordained ahead of time for our glory, which our heart, our ears, and our eyes cannot know. But he hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit fathoms the abysmal things of God, and reveals spiritual things to spiritual men. The unsaved person, no look-see at all. And the carnal Christian doesn't really enjoy them. We shall see this. No spiritual appetite. He cannot stand strong meat. He wants spiritual problems. Isn't it strange? A baby will eat almost anything except vegetables and good food. They'll eat sand, they'll eat dirt, they'll eat buttons. Everything but vegetables. You have to make them eat vegetables. I can still see Pauline trying to make Peggy eat vegetables. And especially carrots and a few things like this, anything that was good for her. She loved pears and peaches or anything sweet. And then she'd switch to the carrots and you'd see a Mount Vesuvius. The pears coming back out. But carrots coming right back out. But my wife had a will of her own, too, and she also knew what the baby ought to have. And I'd see her take that spoon and gather all the carrots from around her face, off the pillow and off of herself, and they'd go again. And then she'd clamp her hand on her mouth, and Peggy had to swallow them. Period. Or choke to death. After a while, she got the idea. But here is why so many Christians love an entertaining message, and they'll switch churches and everything else, trying to find we call them church tramps. They're trying to find somebody that is an ear specialist. Because they have an itch for novelty, as one translation gives this, when Paul says they will not endure sound doctrine, but they shall heap to themselves teachers because of their itch for novelty. Their desire to hear some new thing. They'll run around and trying to find somebody that will tickle their ears. This is a trait of babyhood, not a mature saint. They must be milk-fed, and Paul emphasizes, especially in Hebrews, the 5th and 6th chapters, they have to have first principles. That's the motto, first principles. They love just a gospel message that doesn't hurt them or help them. They don't want any message that's a little bit further advanced than they are that entices them to come up a little higher. They want only a message about salvation, not about sanctification, the infilling of the Spirit. Let me illustrate. I went to preach one time in a church quite a little distance from here, and a famous evangelist started his church, and he's right out in the middle of the woods. And I remember Sunday morning, I drove from here, and I wondered, where are the people coming from? But the first thing you know, they began to gather. I mean, from all over the place, from those woods. And it must have been at least 600 people in this church, way out in the woods. I preached that Sunday morning on Christian victory and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I never was so frozen out in all my life. I mean, they just froze me half to death. There wasn't any amens. I always said they had that Nicodemus look. How can such things be? Nobody said I enjoyed the message. And then when we went out the front door, we went through a cloud, and it wasn't the glory cloud. It was the tobacco cloud. They couldn't wait to get out of the church to light up their cigarettes and pipes and cigars. That Sunday night, I had prepared a gospel message, and I never saw such a bunch of enthusiastic people in my life. They amened all over the place. And I remember driving all the way back here, about 150 miles, late that night. I began to think, well, Lord, what was the answer to that? And then I began to realize what it was. They enjoyed a message that didn't bother them, or didn't convict them, or didn't admonish them to a deeper life. They love just first principles. I wonder a lot of times how successful today a preacher will be if he preaches the Spirit-filled life. How many Christians will love to hear it? And especially if they've heard it a number of times and rejected it. Because it'll bother them. Paul always shows up the road ahead, and then he entices us. He practically crooks his finger and says, let us therefore go on to perfection. Not laying again the same old foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God and baptism and laying on of hands and so on. The first one then is no enjoyment of the deeper things of God. In fact, Paul says they can't bear it. Won't put up with it. That's the idea. Notice the second one. As being spiritual babes, they have tantrums, envyings, strife, as it calls. They cling to nursing mothers. I am of Cephas, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Christ. Partyism in the church. Nursing mothers. They love a preacher who will hand feed them problem instead of strong meat. Along with that is dull or insensible of hearing spiritual things. Unskillful in the word of righteousness is what Hebrews 5:12-14 says. No command of the Bible, nor understanding of its riches, no development of the spiritual faculties to both comprehend and enjoy spiritual truth. I have another illustration I like along this line. A baby saint actually likes spiritual baby talk. They don't like deeper truths. Science has a word for baby talk called hypocorisms. Hypocorisms. And Modern Language Association has 6 hypocorisms, and Paul gives you a 7th. Let me give them to you. Now remember, a hypocorism is baby talk. Notice the first one. That which adults use to cajole and teach their children. They use baby talk. Second, that which grown-ups use to talk to their pets. Since they don't understand them anyhow. Third, and this is a good one, the sickly, cloying words between lovers. You know, does little lambkins love your big boykins? Or I love my itty-bitty poochicums? Of course, before you laugh at those, wait till you fall in love. Fourth, the sickly hypocorisms in advertising, geared to a 6-year-old. Like, oh, thank heavens for 7-Eleven. Or something like that. All advertising on the TV and radio is geared to a 6-year-old or younger. Fifth, that used between adults and adults and adults to children to wheedle a favor or a concession. And sixth, that used in sarcasm for a satirical effect. Now let me give one by Paul. A hypocorism. And that is of a baby saint who only needs the first principle. Remember, the first principles really is baby talk. Or it is to get one saved. But after that, they need some solid food. I read where you can only grow so much on baby food. And then if you don't have solid food, you cease to grow. That's interesting. Most of our preaching today is baby talk. It's a hypocorism. It's first principles. It's no wonder that most of the saints and most of the churches are still a bunch of babies. You cannot grow on first principles. That's it. That's why Paul says, I could not speak unto you as unto adults, but as unto babes, because you couldn't bear it. They get spiritual dyspepsia. That's the old-fashioned stomachache. If you feed them any solid food. Their little baby stomachs won't take it. You read Hebrews 5 very carefully. Paul said concerning Melchizedek, and remember, we had already the Melchizedek ministry of Jesus. The Melchizedek ministry of Christ was to lead us into an uttermost salvation. It was to draw us nigh into the very holy of holies with God. That was his Melchizedek ministry. But he says to the Hebrew saints, of whom, that is the Melchizedek, I had many things to say, but you were not able to bear them. Neither are ye now able to bear them. I could not speak unto you, he said, as unto adults, but as unto babes, because you become insensible of hearing. For he said, strong meat belongs to them that are full age. Those who have their spiritual faculties exercised by reason of usage, that they might be able to discern between good and evil, and so on. Then he says in chapter 6, let us therefore leave the first principles of Christ and go on to maturity, that word perfection, not laying again the same old foundation. And this is exactly what a babyhood saint does. Week after week after week, laying the same old foundation. There are many more, but there's one more that sums up the whole thing. Weak saints. Weak. Weak. Look up how many times Paul uses it. I'll give you a few here in your notes. Weak in conscience. Weak in faith. Weak in liberty. Still bound by law in Romans 12, 20, 14, 21. Weak in service. Serving my Lord. I'm serving the Lord in my own weak way, is their testimony. Or as we said, they serve God weakly and weakly. Look at the third one, and this is God's perfect will. No doubt about this. No question. God's will for every born-again believer is not to stay a baby, but to become a spirit-filled, pneumatikos saint. You should see this in the very text used. He says so. Ephesians 5, 14, I think it's 13 and 14, if I remember right. Anyway, Paul says, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is debauchery, but be ye being filled with the Spirit. That's plain, isn't it? That's the will of the Lord. We should come across that text again when we deal with the infilling of the Spirit. Now, if you think that God is satisfied with anything short of this, you're absolutely wrong. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. A carnal Christian does not please God any more than if you have a retarded child that doesn't grow physically or mentally, and yet 30 or 40 years old. Do you enjoy that child? Please with it. Rejoice in that little baby now. You've got an eternal baby. A baby's a wonderful thing. Great joy to a dad and mama. We had four of them. Sometimes I thought there were five too many. And other times I would love to have had a few more. But if they had stayed babies, I'd lost all my pleasure in them. It would have been a heartache. And I believe most Christians are a heartache to God Almighty, because they're yet carnal. Were the Corinthians pleasing to God? Yet carnal? Look what Thayer says, and I love Thayer's lexicon. He's very excellent. He says concerning the pneumatikoi, one who is filled with and governed by the Spirit of God. You can't improve on that definition. That's exactly what a spiritual Christian is. It's peculiar. People have a funny idea about spirituality. They think it's some kind of an etherical thing. He's very spiritual. He may be as carnal as the devil himself. spiritual is a spiritual Christian is one who is filled with and controlled by the Spirit of God. Now, we shall see this all the way through in the characteristics and all the rest dealing with the spiritual person. Now, notice Paul contrasts him with a carnal Christian. I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. So it's the opposite of carnal. Contrasted with carnal. So it's a non-carnal, non-fleshy Christian. Paul's the only one who uses it. In our Pauline theology. The adjective that Peter uses is different. A spiritual house and spiritual sacrifice or spiritual worship. And Paul uses the word 24 times. And if you look up all 24 times, you'll have a good compendium of what he means by spiritual. We shall see some of them. So it is the spirit-filled, sanctified saint who has gone on to perfection, maturity, full age. It stands in antithesis to the babe in Christ. Hence, it's a full-grown Christian. Hebrews 5:14. It is a believer who has so crucified the flesh and so filled with the Spirit until the new law, the new nature, controls his whole life instead of the flesh, the son. This is God's whole and perfect will for you. Nothing short of it will suffice. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:15. He that is spiritual, pneumatikos, judgeth or examineth. The Greek word means to search by looking through a series of objects to distinguish and pick the best one. He that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Two Greek words for judged. Condemned by no man. Note 1 Corinthians 2:13, which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, is the authorized version. So the first one's neuter and the other is masculine, so revealing spiritual things to spiritual men. The things that he said, flesh and blood up above, or flesh, or the ears and eyes and heart, man cannot know, but the Holy Ghost can reveal. Carnal Christian can't know the deep things of God. It's utterly impossible. Now, notice all Christians start as spiritual babes. No one is born a spiritual adult. Oh, thank God some of them grow awful fast. I can remember some that we've led to Jesus Christ in our ministry that seemed to grow 10 foot in one night. Like Joe Drew that I've mentioned so often. Bless his heart. God did a good job on that fellow. And he did a good job in handing his life over to God when he was saved. No reservations. And he was just like a sponge, absorbing spiritual truth. But all Christians are born spiritual babes, like the Apostle Peter said. Born not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God. And then he says, as newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. So all saints are born spiritual babes, infant spiritual life, needing the word of God to grow thereby. But some stay spiritual babes till they die. The cradle role is the biggest department of the church. And it always was a grief to me to see a spiritual babe, 50 years old, been a Christian for 50 years and still as much a baby as the day he was saved. Are ye not yet carnal, Paul says. And yet they sat under the ministry of the Apostle Paul for 2 years. I used to get discouraged with the babies in the church till I read Corinth a little more carefully, the book of Corinthians a little more carefully. And if they could stay a spiritual baby under Paul, no wonder they stayed a spiritual baby under me. There's no such thing as a spirit-filled church. Everybody. That's why if you're looking for a spiritual church or a church that is perfect, two things we said before, you'd ruin it if you found it by joining it. You've got the wrong attitude. And second, if you're looking for that kind of church, you'll be outside the church until the rapture. There will be a perfect church after the rapture. Absolutely. He'll present it to himself without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But there are a lot of spots and wrinkles in anyone that's on earth now. Note some qualifications, or some characteristics, rather, of the spiritual ones, the pneumatikoi. We shall see that they are gifted of the Holy Spirit, enriched of the Holy Spirit, fructified by the Holy Spirit to bear the fruits of the Spirit. They'll bear his manifestations, his energies, his gifts, his ministries, and we shall see perfectly manifest in their lives the attributes of Jesus Christ. That's wonderful. But that's his primary ministry, to reproduce Christ in the believer. Now, a spirit-filled believer will manifest for Christ. Now look at some of the characteristics of the pneumatikoi, and we, of course, are abbreviating all of these. First, there is a spiritual strength. In contrast, we shall see to the weak brother. Maturity, full age, established, grounded, steadfast. The weak brother is vacillating. We'll see what James has to say about the double soul man, which has to be a born-again believer. Unstable in all of his ways, he says. The weak saint is unstable in all his ways. He's always getting his feelings hurt by the pastor or somebody else, and pouting. You see all these babyhood characteristics. So, number one, there is a spiritual strength. Maturity, full age. The very opposite of the weak brother. The baby. A baby is a very weak thing. Has to have a lot of care. Has to have nursemaids. Or they'll be in trouble all the time. The spiritual believer has the spiritual faculties exercised by reason of usage and can stand strong meat, and best of all, he stops acting like a baby, which would be a blessing in any church. Second, notice, he has the Holy Spirit revealed to him the deep things of God. The deep things of God. Revealing spiritual things to spiritual men. Our translation of that portion in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. And it must be translated thus, because one is neuter and the other is masculine. The weak Christian never understands the deep things of God. In fact, he gets a stomach ache over them. Paul prays for the Ephesians, as we've already seen in the first chapter of Ephesians, that what God would grant unto them the spirit of revealed wisdom in the epignosis, the full knowledge of Jesus Christ, that they might know all that God has for them. So, the spiritual Christian is living in the deep things of God. They're revealed to him. They're enjoyed by him. He revels in them. He understands them. While the babe in Christ rejects them. And we shall see all through Paul's doctrine of victory for the believer, characteristics of the pneumatikoi. As we deal with the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the Christian victory, you should read Paul's prayer in Colossians 1, 9 through 11. We won't have time to do it this morning. And there he's dealing with this same subject. So, in closing, the spiritual Christian is the Spirit-filled, Spirit-taught, Spirit-led, Spirit-controlled, Spirit-used Christian who no longer lives, but Christ lives in him. You're dismissed.